Well, good evening, everybody. I've got the task to which I am totally unequal tonight, to speak on words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning spirits. I'm like, yeah, that sounded straightforward when I read the title. It's like, oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah. Yeah, then I read all the stuff that the lovely evening service team had provided for me. I was like, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Wowzer. And then, you know, I came to writing the talk, and I sort of like, you know what? This isn't something that I can talk about and tell you what it's about. Because this is such a kind of like God stuff. So my prayer is that as I speak, that actually who you hear speaking is the Lord, because I think that in the end of the day, that's actually the really important bit. My words fill the gaps, you know, but we need to hear what the Lord is saying to each one of us, because each one of us has a very different walk. My walk is different from yours, because I'm a different sort of broken person from you. And so I think you need to be hearing what he says. I'm certainly hoping you do. I got this nice brief from the evening service team, and it was so good, I thought I would just put it up and read it. So if I could have that first slide. The gift of the word of wisdom is the application of knowledge that God gives you. This type of wisdom is a gift which cannot be gained through study or experience. The gift of the word of wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. As a Christian exercises this gift, she or he begins to develop a fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs 1:7. Furthermore, this gift involves having a sense of divine direction, being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances, and rightly applying knowledge. I thought that was great. Slightly tempted, like Louise was this morning after she said no. You'll have to listen to the morning service to find out what that was about. Just to sit down again at that point, but I'm not going to. The thing is, it sounds like the sort of gift that I need. Because I know I can be pretty dopey at times, and easily blunder my way through life, not noticing the obvious, and getting totally absorbed by things that other people think are just not necessary. It's just the way I come. And then I sort of don't think I'm particularly wise. You know, you've probably been insulted by me at some stage or another, and I never noticed that I'd done it. Sorry. Because I just don't read people very well. My poor wife, she has to put up with a lot. Along with this, I can't find that actually sometimes I find it really quite difficult to learn from my mistakes as well. Because I think it's partly because I was brought up with this very definite code of conduct, and if I followed it, everything would be all right. But actually, the world does not work like that. And so I sort of find myself getting into all sorts of difficulties because people aren't like how I expected. So if when you look at me, you think, Colin doesn't look that bad. Yeah, that's the grace of God. That's my only solution to the whole thing. That's how I'm still married. You know, at the end of the day, it's the grace of God. The Holy Spirit at work in me makes me seem like a slightly more normal person, gives me a degree of empathy with other people, which kind of surprises me at times. And actually, that's true of us all. We all have our own individual gaps in our personalities, things that we just can't get. We actually all need these gifts, the gifts of wisdom, of knowledge, of discernment. Actually, everybody needs this in a sort of general way from God. Praise the Lord. I want to start with a verse that I absolutely love. It's James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I just thought this was nice. You know, God is offering us this gift. he's giving it liberally, without reproach. You know, he's absolutely cool about giving us the gift of wisdom. He just gives it to us. But we do need to use it, because that's part of the trick, isn't it? It's not just what God gives us. We've got to kind of, we've got to use it. Now, I don't know about you, but I find the whole thing of communicating with God and him communicating me to be a bit, well, shall we say, nuanced. It seems more in the way of hints. You know, sometimes I need to be told directly, you know, just do this. Jenny's good at that. She's like, this bit of the allotment just needs to be dug over. You know, there's nothing that, you don't need to do any weeding here because I just dig everything up. It's just dig the whole thing. It's lovely and straightforward. Sometimes I feel God could do be a little bit more straight with me, you know, just give me a direct instruction. But of course, he works through hints, through touches, through the gentlest of things, the still small voice of God. A thought comes to me unbidden. An impression forms as I'm praying. Something impinges upon me into my consciousness as I worship him. And that's the Lord just reaching out to me. And he's reaching out to every one of us. We've got to keep our ears open. But the trouble is, if I don't pay enough attention, I can miss those moments of revelation. The little word of knowledge and the wisdom that comes with it. We live in a terribly busy world. We fill our lives. We do not stop enough to listen to what he is saying. The little prompts and spiritual nudges that come from God need to be noticed and followed. Recently, I realized there was somebody that I should contact. As I was praying through my prayer list, I thought, oh yeah, I must contact them. Just a quick email, just to sort of say I'm still in touch. But of course, I was busy. And the not-so-spiritual self just forgot to do it. But God didn't give up. He gave me another little nudge. And then something happened. Probably my baby granddaughter came, and she's so sweet. And I just forgot again. And then far too late, I realized that this is something that I should have done. And actually, God was calling me to do it, and I hadn't done it. Great. Thanks, Lord, for the reminders, the nudges. But we need to actually act. We need to take it on board, what he says. It's no good just having him gifting us with these lovely bits of wisdom and knowledge. That's not the whole story. The whole story is going and following through. But our lives are a bit crazy, and we don't hear the still small voice of God as he reaches out to us. What we need to remember is that actually this is always on offer. It's not just a once only. This is something that is going on throughout our lives. God is always wanting to engage with us. He sees that as part of the relationship that he has with us. In Proverbs, it talks about the gift of wisdom. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Seeing things from God's perspective is such a liberating thing to do. Suddenly everything can seem really quite different. We can be tired, worried, bogged down with other people's needs. But this actually can all be quite transformed by seeing things through God's eyes. By seeing stuff as God sees it and allowing the wisdom of the Lord to change our priorities and to recognize that as we serve other people, as we pray for them, whatever we're doing, and as we look after our own well-being also, we are actually serving him. God's wisdom can reveal to us a quite different view that can really free us. And that's what Jesus called us to be, didn't he? He said, be free, be free indeed. And the Holy Spirit is constantly wanting us to become free of the baggage, to have that understanding, that knowledge, that wisdom that frees us. Now, many of the gifts, I think, that we're talking about in this series are actually very closely linked, and they overlap significantly with each other. Prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, the gift of tongues even. All these things are given by the Spirit to the church. Now, we might experience them as individuals, but actually these gifts are for the whole church. And we are all part of that. I think they're quite difficult to entirely separate from one another because they're so closely linked. But we do need to kind of try and pin them down a bit. When we're talking about them, I guess we need to sort of segregate them a bit. So I want to just turn to the gift of knowledge. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 actually, we've got up here. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Knowledge is quite specific. God is reaching out through his servant, who might be you or you or you. God is reaching out through his servant with a word, or maybe it's a prayer, or perhaps it's an action that is focused on a particular situation. Once again, he gives his gifts generously, but we need to use our gifts of knowledge with humility. We need to use them with graciousness. And I always like to remember that the first thing, if I sense there is some understanding about some situation that's being given to me by God, that it might actually be slightly influenced by my own situation, my own experience, and my own understanding. So we need to be careful. It's good if God gives us a word for somebody, but it's something that needs to be exercised with caution, because we can actually change what God is saying because of our own understanding, our own life experiences. So if you sense that God has a prayer or a message for a friend, then present it gently with questions and prompting. Explore this thing together. My personal experience of receiving a word from God for somebody has been largely when I've been actually praying for them, actively praying for them. And actually, that's really quite exciting. You're praying about something with them, and you get this other insight that seems to come from nowhere, and you realize that the Lord is actually bringing something extra into this prayer for you to present back to him. And there is a danger that you can be just a little bit too zippy. I mean, it's good that we present it, it's good that we pray it, but it needs to be done with care and love and caution and exploration as well. You know, we don't have to just stay praying. We can say, what do you think about this? This thought has come to me. Does that mean anything to you at this moment? So that we can do this with the love and the gentleness that's really needed within the context of loving fellowship. Whatever we think, we should always encourage others to seek to discern things for themselves and to decide prayerfully whether that word was for them and was right for their situation, and to see if this is just the start of something more, because it often is. This might be just the start of something as part of their relationship with the living God. And we don't want to detract from God's work by not letting him actually do it. It's not our work. We've always got to remember that. It is his work. And by sharing it and allowing them to develop that for themselves, our friend gets a chance to move on. And perhaps to begin to experience something of the next gift we're talking about, which is discernment, the gift of discerning spirits. There's a couple of verses that I'll just put up here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Have I got it? Yep. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. I think that Christians can actually get a bit fussed up about the whole question of deceiving spirits. So I was kind of pleased when this verse was given to me as part of my preparation for this evening. You'll notice that behind this, I've got a sort of picture of the universe, as it were, and that is because whenever we're dealing with spirits of any sort, be they deceiving or malevolent in any kind of way, we've always got to remember that God is the boss of the universe. You know, like, actually, he really is. So we're not in a competition here. It's not Star Wars, where good and bad are almost equally pitted against each other. God is infinitely more powerful than anything else. And it's good to remember that that is true. So when we come across any kind of spirit that is that feels like a danger, actually, we have God on our side. There is no doubt about who's going to win here. It really is no doubt. God is totally the boss of the universe. I think it's just good to remember that there's only going to be one victor. We need to keep it simple. God is more powerful than we can possibly imagine. And we just need to be utterly confident in that, in prayer particularly. But it doesn't mean that we don't need the gift of discerning spirits within the church fellowship. In 1 John 4, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Many false prophets. Actually, I'd like to point out that we can sometimes be our own false prophets. Do you speak negativity into your own life? Well, yeah, we are all tempted to do that from time to time, aren't we? And we are false prophets if we do that, because actually, God is speaking positivity into our own lives, because he has stepped out and changed everything by calling us into the Christian faith. It's good to be realistic about our shortcomings, but some people actually seem to live on what could reasonably be called a self-fulfilling prophetic downward spiral. And that's not godly. Up is the direction that God calls us in. Up because he's at work in each of us to promote change and to perfect our fallen nature. He wants us to be the perfect version of ourselves. That's his quest, just as our spouses or parents would also like us to be. But actually, in God's case, he has the power to do it. And I testify to that. I am amazed at the person that he has slowly made me. God has done some amazing things. You were talking earlier about these summer camps. I was one of those people. It was 50 years ago when I sat in a tent and said, yeah, I would like to become a Christian. A lot has happened to my life and to my personality too, I think, in that time. I would never have thought that I'd be standing here speaking to you today when I was that little boy. It's good for us to remember that if a word, and that word might be from yourself as much as from anybody else, but if a word does not build you up, drive you to the cross, or chime with Scripture, then you're dealing with a false prophet. But sometimes it's not easy. And that is why we need the gift of to be exercised, the gift of discernment to be exercised within our fellowship. And thankfully, it has been and is by different people at different times. It's been used to the blessing of this church, this fellowship, as people have recognized things that were going wrong, people that were leading us in the wrong way or behaving poorly and need to be challenged. That level of discernment has been a feature of this church over many years. And one of these days, actually, that person exercising that discernment might be you. Because God's not he doesn't think that, you know, he's always going to talk to Louise and give her the answers. No, he's going to talk to any of us. And we need to be a bit alert to that. If we discern something that is not right, then we need to take it seriously. Now, you might be wrong, but that's okay. You know, it's okay to be wrong. The starting point is talking to your elder. That's the way our church is structured. Have a chat with your elder. And that way is the right channel towards the leadership of the church. Now, if you don't, what might happen? Well, God will actually speak through somebody else. But you know what's really great is if three people come to their elders and say something very similar, then it's really easy for the leadership of the church to sit up and take notice. And we need to be able to do that. So God may be relying on anybody here to do that job. Don't miss it. Stay alert in prayer, in worship, in quiet. Do not think it can't be me, because God uses us all. That is how the church should be. So as I come to a close tonight, I just want to read another little bit that the lovely evening service crew sent me as part of the briefing paper. The gift of a word can also reveal the prophetic future. It is speaking hidden truths of what is not known. It is a supernatural perspective to ascertain the divine means for accomplishing God's will in a given situation, and is a divinely given power to use spiritual intuition in problem solving. There are always problems to be solved within the context of church, and we all need to be exercising these gifts. It's not down to just the leaders. It's down to us all. I'd like to finish by going back to a lovely bit of Alpha Course teaching. It comes from the session called How Does God Guide Us? But it's not just about guidance. It's about so many things. It's squeezed into trying to use words that both start with C and S, so is consequently somewhat contrived, but it does mean that I land up remembering most of them. The first one is obvious. If something doesn't chime with the Scripture, you know, hey, there's got to be something not right about it. Compelling Spirit. The Holy Spirit is obviously at work in every single one of us, but we need to become used to knowing when he's prompting us. Listen out for him. Take the time. I'll tell you what, I'm speaking to myself there as much as anybody else here. The Council of the Saints, I like that. It is a bit of a squeeze, isn't it, getting that into CS? But the lovely thing is, let's chat to our fellowship friends about things that occur to us. Not in a moaning way, not in a critical way, but in a questioning way. What do you feel? Does this seem right to you? All that kind of stuff. Then there's common sense, you know, if it seems reasonable. But hey, you know, that's not to be totally relied upon. I don't suppose Anne Ferzen would be doing what she was doing now if she used a whole lot of common sense, because, you know, when you look at Anne's crazy life out there in Chad, not much of it seems to me to make sense. But, boy, is she driven by that Holy Spirit desire to serve where God wants her to serve. And of course, there's circumstantial signs. If you push the door and it opens, go on, walk through. What is on the other side? Let's continue this adventure together with God in our Christian lives. Let's allow him to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the discernment that we need to run our lives and our church. This is a fellowship thing. All these gifts are given for the church. And we all need to be part of it. A church doesn't function if we aren't all part of it. I'd like to invite the band back. Somebody perhaps help Tom get up the ramp. That would be great. And I'd like to just draw to a close. And let's just pray together. It may be that we just need a little bit of time just to think about this, to ask questions of ourselves. Do I give myself enough time? I certainly need to ask this. Do I give myself enough time to hear from God? Do I? Do I have enough time of quiet when I'm not sort of bombarding heaven with my prayers or reading to see what Scripture's done? Do I give him a chance? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us tonight. We thank you for the gifts that you pour into our lives and for your willingness, your desire to give us these gifts for our individual lives, but for the church. And we pray, Lord, that we would take responsibility to use the gifts that you give to us so that we can reach out to others who are outside the church and so that we can live together an inspired life, an inspired spiritual life, where we are listening to what you're calling us to do and be. Come, Lord Jesus, work through the power of your Spirit in each one of us and make us more attentive to what you are calling us to. Help us to listen for that still small voice, we pray, Lord. Help us to have gaps in our lives where that can happen. So, Lord, touch us, change us, transform us, we pray, and make us into the church that you are calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.